Oh, you have to check it out, because it was a surprise to me. For me, it's my favorite, just because it's, you just don't see anything like that.
The texture is just as important a component of flavor as is the taste itself. You eat in three ways. You look at the products, you eat them with your eyes, and then you sense the texture.
Hey, you're listening to Spark Chasers, and this is Michael Kahn. In this episode, I interview Chris Glab, founder of Wild Brine and chief innovation officer for Bubby's Fine Foods and Fermented Food Holdings. When I first recorded this episode, I didn't plan on it being used for a podcast, and it was recorded purely to take notes on the showroom floor of Natural Products Expo West in 2023. The interview was a lot of fun, and I'm really excited to be able to share this. This episode is sponsored by The Weekly Driver. Go to theweeklydriver.com for car reviews and automotive news, some of which are written by yours truly. All right, here's Chris.
Okay, so I'm Chris Topp, the founder of Wild Brine. We manufacture all live, raw, fermented. We started with all live, raw, fermented sauerkraut and cheese, srirachas. Recently, we've introduced a line of vinegar pickled items, but really specialty items, like a banh mi medley, a Latin American slaw that's called a petito, escabeche, or we have pickled red onions. Our core kraut line, as you certainly have with core green kraut, but one of my favorites, the dill or garlic, red beet and red cabbage sauerkraut. But we got specialty items like apple caraway, jalapeno lime. Then we ventured into plant-based dairy because we're fermenters. We make the cultures in the very same way that we make our sauerkrauts and kimchi, which is fermented plants instead of fermenting milk as they do in the dairy industry, to come out with a butter, cream cheese, sour cream, and plant-based creamery style dips. Really big time fermenters. We acquired Bubby's, or we were combined with Bubby's, and then I started working on that front to do the new product development with bread and butter pickles, kosher dill pickles, and now I'm starting also to do the innovation at Geoke and Sauerkraut in Wisconsin. So my title, while I was the founder of Wild Brine in Fermented Food Holdings, I've got a title that says Chief Innovation Officer. Really what it means is I work in the kitchen most days developing new products, refining products, helping to launch products. So we have a lot of new items here at the show. I mentioned the Wild Vine items like the banh mi medley, which is a Nexty finalist. Great item.
I tried that. It was really good.
Thank you. Thanks. And it's neat because it could be used as a side salad. It could be used as a condiment on a sandwich. So it's got some real flexibility in usage.
Yeah, and it holds up on its own really well, too.
Okay. And it's done the right way. It's got the jalapenos in there for kick. It's got that citrusy kick of lime. And it's got that warm note of cilantro, so you really get that feeling of this is no banh mi. On the Bubby side, what's new here at the show are three new bread and butter items: a spicy Fresno bread and butter, a horseradish bread and butter, and an apple ginger bread and butter.
Oh, I didn't even see the apple ginger. I'll have to check that out.
Oh, you have to check it out, because it was a surprise to me. For me, it's my favorite, just because it's you just don't see anything like that in the bread and butter category.
That's an unusual combination, but it makes sense just to...
Oh, I've got some crazy stuff to show you here.
Okay, no.
The dip that's different. And did you taste them?
Yes.
Looked at the jars. I took the same approach that I've always done with Wild Brine to the Bubby's Pickle category. And that is, I always wanted to get flavors through real whole ingredients. If you look at the pickle category, there are flavors out there, but they're done in a cheap and easy way. Fly a plane over with some herbs and spices and drop them in. Put a little crushed red pepper in. Here I use the real whole ingredients to flavor them. So the spicy, we start with whole Fresno peppers. I like Fresno because it's got a medium heat, but it's got a really great rounded pepper taste. So I've got pieces of diced Fresno peppers in there. And our horseradish. We peel horseradish and we dice it. We got real diced pieces of horseradish in it. In our apple ginger, we peel ginger. We've got coins of ginger.
You said what of ginger?
Coins. What? So okay. A coin cut. You've got a round sort of diameter to it. So instead of dicing it to make it look different, have some interest in there, it looks like a quarter, basically. So
that's gotcha. Okay.
And then we've got Granny Smith apples in there. We walk down the aisle, we see those items. You don't just read it on the label, you eat with your eyes. You see the real pieces of those ingredients in there. You taste it.
Why'd you go with the Granny Smith variety?
Bubby. I think Bubby, what kind of apple is she going to use? She's going to use a Granny Smith.
You think
she's
so?
Like,
okay.
A granny.
Is that your reasoning? Really?
After the fact, it was.
Okay.
I actually like the sweet tartness of a Granny Smith. I think it goes well with the bread and butter flavor profile. If you were to use a sweeter apple,
Red Delicious, let's just say, I don't think you get the complexity. And you think, if you think about a bread and butter pepper, you get the sweetness from the sugar, but you get the tartness from the vinegar. And with Smith, you get the tartness of the acid that's in that apple, but you also get the sweetness in that apple. So I think it worked really nice in there.
Was texture a consideration for the fermentation process of an apple? Or not so much on
and
this.
And I'm glad you brought that up, because the Granny Smith holds up a lot better than some other apples. We probably all had a Red Delicious that's kind of mushy. Yeah. I love Honey Crisps. That would have been my choice in there, too.
But also, that's a really sweet one.
But it's a little bit sweeter. Yeah. But if you look across the Wild Brine line, you look across the Buddy's line, texture is just as important a component of flavor as is the taste itself. So you'll find across our line that everything, there's a consciousness to the texture. And the apples held up well. Don't have to worry about the ginger holding up. It's nice and
right.
Soft. The Fresnos, it's a pepper. It's going to be a little bit soft, but the nature of our process is it still keeps a nice texture. And the horseradish, it's going to hold up like the ginger. And you'll find the pickle chips themselves are really nice and crunchy.
Crunch is a very important factor for chips.
You eat in three ways. You look at the products, you eat them with your eyes, and then you sense the texture. Those are important. Another really important aspect, everything that we do, and I want to emphasize this, all our stuff's vegan. Most of it's organic. We're non-GMO. We're gluten-free. So we really emphasize the health of these products. But for us, food is about culinary. Food is flavor. You could be the healthiest product in the world, but if it doesn't taste good, people aren't going to buy it and they're going to eat it. If they just want the help and into the supplement. So for us, the first and most important component is, does it taste good? And the secondary benefit to get you over the hump is if you can give a health benefit to it, then you feel good about what you're eating and eat as much as you want and you feel great about it. So while there, people come by sometimes and they say, but your products are live, raw, fermented, probiotic. What kind of probiotic organisms do you have in there? And what is the count on those? You know what? How did Bubby eat? How did people eat for ages? You eat real food, you do it the right way. Mother Nature will take care of you through the fermentation and the portfolio of organisms that do all that. And you're gonna have gut health, you're gonna boost your immune system. Fermentation helps break down the food itself so it's more easily digested. That's an interesting point. I don't know if you know this, but yogurt, for instance, is a fermented product. There are a lot of people who are allergic to dairy and are lactose intolerant, but they can eat yogurt. Why is that? Because it's fermented. It takes that complex lactose compound molecule and it breaks it down to more simple sugars. Likewise, in our products, it breaks down those vegetables to more simple components that are more bioavailable. So if you were to eat fresh cabbage, you get a lot of great vitamins and minerals, nutrients. If you eat fermented cabbage, you're going to get even more because you're not going to be able to take advantage of all of those vitamins, minerals, and nutrients your body alone. It'll pass some of those through. But fermentation makes them more bioavailable. You're going to get even more nutrition out of it.
And your point about yogurt made me think about a lot of people who can't eat soft cheese are totally fine with the hard cheese.
Yeah, it's cultured. Is that there's a fermentation to it. That's exactly right. Fermentation is just a magical art and science that I still don't think we know everything about the benefits of it.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Okay, so are you ready for some hard questions?
Shoot.
Okay, what's your favorite culture?
Polish people.
Okay.
I would say Lactobacillus, the genus of Lactobacillus, because that's all the magic of our fermentation. If I was in the wine or the beer industry, I might say a yeast.
Okay. All right. What was your first fermented product you ever made, or fermented food? Personally, not for a business endeavor.
Everything ferments, and then there's good ferment and there's bad ferment. So the first thing that I ever fermented is probably that jar of salsa that I opened and went bad in the fridge.
Did you eat it?
No, but it didn't ferment the right way.
Okay, how about the one that you fermented on purpose?
But more likely a dill and garlic sauerkraut.
Okay, so that was
it's
your
actually foray. Still one of my favorites today. Yep.
Okay. Interesting. Now, how old were you?
It's funny. I really got into food and cooking food and eating food when I was in college because I was running a lot. I did a lot of marathons. And I figured if I'm going to eat a lot, I need to save money. And hey, I want to make sure it tastes good. A lot of my growth in cooking and product development and innovation was in college.
What college did you go to?
The University of Michigan.
Okay, what were you studying?
I got my MBA. I thought I was going to get into finance, tried a little bit of that, and didn't like it. Tried a little bit of what economics, and didn't like it. But I really liked marketing and strategic planning. So I went down that marketing path. But I think for me, the thing that really helped me round out my education for what I do today is that I went back to school for sustainable agriculture. And
really?
It really tied well, brought together business and food in a really way that really helps me do what I do today.
I'm sure that helps a lot to have that background and have dabbled in some of those other similar areas.
It does, to be able to just to talk. It does from the standpoint of sourcing the right ingredients and understand how they behave. It helps when reading, and I really got into food science too, so when I went back for sustainable agriculture, I did a lot of studies in food science, and I just found it fascinating. And there's a book that most every cook has in their kitchen. It's called On Food and Cooking by Harold McGee, and it's like the science of cooking for a layperson. But after getting that background in sustainable agriculture and cooking a lot myself, you read that book, and it's just magical. Everything just explains everything. If you ever read that book, I highly
I don't have it, but I have a record, so I'm going to go look that up.
On Food and Cooking by Harold McGee.
Okay, I'll have to check that out. Okay, next hard question. I hope these aren't too much for you.
No.
Okay. Congress is in session, and they passed a law saying that Crisp Lab is only allowed one fermented food the rest of his life. What do you choose to eat?
That was the call.
I have to say, while it's newer to me and from the product development standpoint, because Bubby's came when we were put together with Bubby's, it's got to be a Kosher Yulkapur.
Yeah?
No question.
That's the one you're taking with you to the grave.
A full sour, and because it's fermented, it's food safe like forever. Even if I get shot into space, as long as the brine is in there, okay, it's going to hold up and it's going to taste even better and better.
Okay, so very forward thinking. You're anticipating that spacewalk in your future then?
I do. Elon, hey, I'm here. I'm ready.
Am I? Okay. All right. I have to look up some other questions I just forgot. What do you ferment at home?
Ooh. I like to get really crazy with fermentation. I like to push the envelope, and sometimes you don't tell people what you did. You're like, oh my God, what are you thinking? And other times it's just like magical. So the most recent thing that I did was a fermented roasted garlic. So I got whole cloves of garlic. I roasted them, really got a nice caramelization to them. Roasted them without an oil, because oil is not going to behave in a fermentation. And then I fermented them, and they're incredible. They're so complex. You still have the caramelization from making the, from roasting the garlic. You get the tartness from the lactic acid and fermentation. It was magical. But some of the other things I do at home, I love to garden too. And so one of the best things for me is just to go out and pick a fresh cucumber, a bunch of fresh cucumbers, pick the dill flower, and just make a fresh. And I'll do both a vinegar pickle, and I'll use those very same ingredients to make a fermented pickle. But just that fresh garden pickle is just fabulous.
If you have guests over for dinner, are you going to serve your own personal fermented pickles, or would you choose a company product? And I won't make you choose which company product, but company versus personal.
No, that's a fair question. It depends on what the cuisine is I'm serving and how I want that product to
behave. We'll say Polish, since you said that's your favorite culture.
If it's Polish, I'm going to go straight up with an apple caraway kraut for the flavor profiles, or I would go with a kosher dill pickle. But if I've got a particular cuisine and I want to be a little bit crazy and try something, then I'll make my own. I feel the same way about bread. I live in Northern California, and that's for a fermented product too. And I could go home and bake bread, but there are so many darn good products on the market. I'm just going to buy a good loaf of bread. Likewise, if I want a good solid sauerkraut that I'm going to serve in a Polish meal, I'm going to use our sauerkraut because I think it's the best on the market. But if I'm going to push the envelope, then I make my own. If I'm going to do a wacky flavor, I'm going to try it. And I've tried a few days ahead to make sure it worked.
Yeah, it is awesome time. Final question that I had written down for you is, did you try the fermented almonds here?
I love those.
Yeah,
my favorite product at the show.
Really?
My absolutely favorite product at the show.
Oh, that's awesome, dude.
And that gets out there, the kind of stuff that I like to do. I kicked myself and said, darn, I wish I had done that.
Yeah.
And I talked quite a bit to, I think his name is Tim.
Yes.
A company called The Philosopher, and kudos to those guys. But in their article, he really knows what he's doing, and I can very much relate to what he's doing. And I would actually love to use his product in some things I'm working on in the future. And I told him that. I mean, it's a fabulous product.
Oh, that would be cool.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome to see. I'm glad to hear that you liked it too, because I was really impressed by that.
Best thing at the show. I really love those creative things. He's just there because, hey, I did something really cool and I want to share it with you guys. That was very clear.
Yeah. I especially enjoy just watching. He's just like enjoying the vibe of sharing these all the people, putting out his beaker.
Yeah.
And like, I don't get this like expression on his face. So like, please just
yeah, and his buddy who worked, I think, does sales for him, Ryan. They're, both those guys were just passionate about what they're doing. And I love that too. Love that. I also have a lot of respect with the show, and this is really important to me, for somebody who makes their own product.
Yeah.
You're all in. You're risking everything. You say, I believe in this, and I'm passionate enough about this that I'm going to do it myself. And you see so many people that say, I'm an entrepreneur. I don't want to take the risk of making it or buying a piece of equipment or renting a plant.
Yeah, let me go to a Bubby's and White Label.
Yeah, yeah. I have so much respect for those guys that are just trying it and doing it.
It's great. It's great.
Yeah, cool. Anything else that you've seen at the show in the fermented world?
Nothing groundbreaking. A lot of our fermented brother and sister companies have some really nice line extensions. They do a good job. I love the mother-in-law's products. I love the Lucky Foods products. And those are two people that are passionate about what they're doing, and they go deep. They do it themselves. And they've been doing it. They're here slogging it out every day, and I have a lot of respect for that. And they both had some line extensions that I just think were really nice products.
I think that's all that I had for you. You covered some of my other questions very well in just conversation.
Yeah. I gave you my card.
I have your card, yes.
So if there's anything, any follow-up that you want to do, sure.